Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, April 19th, 2011.
A helpless cry. Oh, they found you, crows of wild eyes. So abandoned, couldn't fight for much. You were dying till love pulled you out. Long days been tucked away. You thought you'd never leave, but today's your day.
Fly Robin from Amy Savin's debut CD, Skylines. With songs featured on indie films, Christian radio and TV, a break came when she won first prize in a singing competition. The judges' feedback, free recording time, and exposure to key players in the music industry were key in helping her career. Amy's on the phone with us tonight to talk about her music, ministry, and CD. Good evening, Amy.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your radio station.
You're welcome. Now, let's go back to the beginning. When did you first start making music?
Right. I always tell people that I was probably singing before I was talking. I don't know if that's true, but I was born and raised off of Disney films, and so even when I was 3 years old, always just singing, and probably at the expense of other people's comfort.
Now, were you making your own songs at that time? Were you?
I was always creating my own songs on the piano. I started playing piano age 3 as well, but probably any serious writing happened in, I'd like to say, in grade 3 or 4 ish. So it's definitely been in my system for a long time, if not forever.
Now, looking at that, who have been your influences as a musician?
Right. Growing up, I grew up in a very traditional church, and so a lot of the music that was coming through my head filters, were just like choral music, and so rich in harmony and hymns and a whole lot of that. So I feel like a lot of my writing is very has a lot of harmonies built into it, and it's very musical and tonal. But later on, I guess when I was into my teens, I started getting familiar with contemporary Christian music and artists like Bethany Dillon, Brooke Fraser, some just really awesome singer-songwriters. That kind of became my inspiration. Like, wow, I didn't know there were girls that, you know, play guitar. That was kind of an eye-opening experience for me.
Well, was there anyone who started influencing you as specifically as a songwriter?
No, you know, that just came. I remember when I was, I don't even know, I'm really bad with ages, but maybe I was 9 years old, and I used to, like every little girl, that sing in the mirror with a hairbrush, and I just remember thinking, you know, one day I want to make a song that just makes everybody cry. I just had this, like, I wanted to move people. I wanted to make people feel emotion at just a very young age. And it just came naturally. I had an easier time writing music than I did anything else, whether that was, you know, school essays or projects. Writing music was just, it's so natural to me.
So when did you get to that point where you kind of realized that singing and songwriting and doing music was the direction you wanted to go career-wise as a vocation?
Right. I'd say probably when I started university, I realized that I was in university to make some life-changing choices, you know, what career I wanted to pursue. And I think it hit me when I was in one of my history courses. I was going to be a history and English teacher. And as I was sitting in the lecture, there was a film playing, and I just remember totally daydreaming and composing in my head. And I just remember at that point specifically, like, wow, Amy, you really can't seem to be focusing on anything else. Maybe you should, you know, try this out. And but I'd say a very pivotal moment was when I was recording a demo with some friends. An old acquaintance of mine found my music on MySpace, and he was really the first person that said, Amy, like, what are you doing with your music? You should really be performing and getting it out there. But you know, I had never been encouraged to do that just because, you know, music wasn't something you do as a career. It was a mm-hmm. hobby. It was something on the side. But so, yeah, I'd say probably 2007, 2008 was when I kind of stepped to my tracks and said, hey, maybe this is possible for now, career.
Now, there also came a point, though, when, especially in the singing part, that became a challenge. Give us a little bit of an idea of what happened with all of that.
Sure. Yeah, well, that was in my last year of high school, so that was before university. So grade 12, I ended up having vocal nodules, which is blisters on your vocal cords, and that was probably a product of me talking a lot, singing a lot, maybe using my voice incorrectly, and I was also sick. And basically, the doctors had told me that I shouldn't talk, you know, and that was how I was supposed to heal. And that's obviously very damaging when you're in high school and everything is very social. So I actually ended up pulling out of school eventually because it was so difficult to be in the midst of so many people and not be able to communicate. So for about a good 6 months, I was very quiet and silent, and that was a very trying time. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to talk again, and at that point, music wasn't necessarily, like, my goal wasn't to be able to sing again. I just wanted to talk so bad. I just missed that community. But I was still writing music, surprisingly, during that time. Some of maybe my more powerful and deep songs came out of that time, and I would get my sister to sing them for me. I would play the melody for her on the piano and get her to sing them just so I could hear the final product of what I was writing. But so, yeah, that was a very trying time.
Well, what kept you going through that period?
I just knew that God was going to use that, and it's difficult to understand when you're going through a trial that there's purpose in it, but I think that's really the basis of our faith, knowing that God doesn't waste anything. He's not trying to have us suffer for no reason, but there's always something deeper. And I remember many times thinking, God, like, this is such a waste of my life. I'm not doing anything. I'm like just this mute child, but God was speaking to me so strongly and preparing me for the future, and I think deep down I knew that, and I didn't know what the future was going to hold, but I knew it was going to be okay. And I think if God can teach us to trust him, then we have no more we have no more questions, because the answer is always the same. The answer is, do you trust me?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking to our guest, Amy Savin, and look a little bit about the story behind her Skyline CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
He says goodbye, I'll see you tonight, I'll be home a little late. She smiles and waves and says that's okay, I'll be waiting for you, love. But you know she'll be lonely, the kids gone to bed and they haven't seen daddy since they don't know when. They live on the promise that soon they'll have all that they need. Even though there's already too many just wants to crash. She believed them when they told her money was the way to win. Now she turns to the glass bottles, calling her name once again. Still we work, chasing wealth, and we can't all our gold, thinking it's not enough.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bigger Houses from Amy Savin's new CD, Skylines. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to keep talking to Amy. Bigger Houses, I think, is probably one of my favorite cuts on that CD. There's such a great and wonderful storyline behind it and message behind it. I'm always interested in especially musicians and their creative process. With you as a songwriter, is that the lyrics, like the ones you find in Bigger Houses, do they come first or does the music come first? How does that work for you?
Right. I think most of my creative process is generally the same every single time. This might be surprising. I always write a melody first. I'll just kind of sit down and play chords and hum a melody. And as long as I have a powerful melody, I work from there, because I feel like the melody will dictate the message in many ways. But this song in particular, I had rewritten several times, and I couldn't find anything that fit with, because it was, I'm really good at writing slower ballads that are more depressing, but this was kind of an upbeat song, and I didn't know what on earth I should write. And I don't know, I honestly don't know where the lyrics came from necessarily. I mean, it sounds like maybe I went through a huge experience, but I think overall my life has always I pull messages out of my past, and you know, I've done a lot of mission trips, and I've worked with children in orphanages, and I think that's really changed my life perspective. And when I come back to North America and I see just the rat race of everything, and I'm the daughter of a pastor, and you know, I see families that are struggling and marriages that are struggling, and I think that was maybe a cry for me to say, hey, let's take a look at what we're doing. What is wrong with the way we're doing life? And I think the root of it is, you know, a breakdown of the family, and that comes from what we're pursuing. And if we can learn to stop and slow down and love each other and love our husbands and love our wives and love our children, I think that'll really change what we value and how we spend our life here. And that's kind of, I think, what I was trying to capture in that song, that we can build as many things, as great things as we want, whether that's a company or status or a home, but we'll never find home, we'll never find fulfillment if we're not just loving the people that are in our lives.
Well, one of the things I find is when I'm looking at songs like Bigger Houses and Fly Robin and that, there's a storytelling element to it. They're crafted as stories. Yeah. Is that something you do deliberately in terms of trying to do storytelling within the lyrics?
Yeah, I think I love stories, and I work with kids all the time, because I used to lead children's choirs, and I'm a music teacher. And so I think I learned the best that way, and I find it the most interesting, and it's not necessarily intentional, that's just kind of what happens. I'm not necessarily, you know, the worship artist who, I don't know, maybe it's all about the names of the Lord and that kind of thing. I find that in order to explain life, I need to, you know, speak out of my own life, and that's kind of how my songs are crafted.
So how long does it take you to craft a song?
It can take, you know, 20 minutes. It can take years. Like, there's songs that one time I woke up at 2 in the morning, and I don't know where the words came from, but I just wrote out an entire song, and it was perfect the way it was. And other times, you know, I'll start off with a melody, and I won't come back to it till a couple years later. But generally, probably a full day I'll spend working on the song, and then maybe, you know, even before I record it in studio, I'll revise it for how many as long as I have. But generally a day, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at you, you just put out Skylines as your first full CD. You did an EP as a demo on that. Was there a big difference between working on the full-length CD compared to the EP?
Yeah. I mean, the EP was, I'd never been really in a studio before. I didn't know, you know, what kind of producers are out there. I just got connected with one through a friend. So it was less of my kind of choosing involved in terms of style. I was working with what was given to me. And it was very low budget because I didn't know how you finance a record, really. But it was a neat experience because I was a co-producer on the EP, and I kind of learned a lot of studio life, and it helped me for my full-length project where I could understand the things I like, the things I don't like. And with my full-length, I kind of said to myself that I'm going to have no limits. If I need to have certain instruments that are going to be more expensive, like, you know, live strings, I don't want the record to suffer because I can't afford it. And God was very gracious, opening up doors, people sponsoring it, and worked with my all-time hero, Ed Cash from Nashville. He's probably America's most well-known Christian producer, Chris Tomlin and Starfield, Bethany Dillon, and all those people. So that was awesome, having his name on the record. He did a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know most musicians, when they go into the studio, have a whole list of songs that they want to put on. How did you choose which songs to include in Skylines?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think I really wanted it, because it was my first kind of big deal, I tried to just take a lot of songs that were all hits, you know, because I think a lot of times I listen to a record and I'm like, oh yeah, I think I like, you know, three of those songs. But because it was my first big smash, I'd been writing for years and years and years, and I just took all of my best songs that I thought were record worthy and put them all on there. And I had titled the album before I had even written the last track, Skylines, which is probably not smart, but I don't know why I really like that name, because the idea of freedom and limitlessness and the sky kept on kind of running through the album, and so that Skylines seemed to sum it up, and that was kind of the process. And you would think, you know, an album needs to tell a story, and I think in little ways that it does. But I think if I write a new record, which I am right now, I will be intentionally writing thematically, you know, and trying to maybe tell a more cohesive story throughout.
Well, we need to take one final break, and when we do, we'll come back and finish up our conversation with singer-songwriter Amy Savin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
I heard that two can be better, like if I should fall, then you would get my back, yeah. It's true that ever since I met you, you're my peace of mind that's keeping me on track. You make each day brighter than the last, like a candle in the dim. You never hide where you're at. You've got my back. You've got my back. Oh, it's just like that. Oh, you've got my back. I won't go alone into this world. Somebody will be cold. You make each day warmer than the last, like a candle in the dim. You never hide where you're at. You've got my back. You've got my back. Oh, it's just like that.
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to You've Got My Back from Skylines by Amy Savin. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Amy. You're talking about the song selection and that beforehand. Looking back on it, now the CD's out, is there anything you kind of look at? I know as a writer, I look at something I've written and I go, oh, I could have done that differently. I could have rewritten that differently. Is there anything you would have done differently on the CD?
I think if there's any changes that I would make, it might be, you know, the arrangement of a song, and maybe throughout other records, you know, I'll include older songs and remix them and just arrange them. I think that's probably the most that I would do, but I think this record I was so happy with it. I've had a lot of negative experiences in the studio and songs I had recorded before and never made it onto a record because they just weren't working out. And this record actually took me 2 years because I started from scratch all over again. So that would have been true had I not, you know, taken the efforts to make this record the second time. But I have to say I'm very pleased. And I know that my work should and only will improve, and I'll probably look back at these songs and think, you know, oh, I probably could have done things a lot better, but I don't know. Right now, I'm satisfied, and I mean, my humble plea is that God will use all of my imperfections and my heart and just change other people's life for the better.
Do you ever go back to some of the songs you've written, you know, 5, 10 years ago and revisit them and see if there's some way of changing them or if they do need changing?
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at those right now. There's some that I'm just digging out, old computer files or old papers I have lying around, and, you know, there's certain lines in there that I'm like, oh, that's really powerful, but then the rest of the song is kind of less than decent. So I'm kind of revisiting those as well, and who knows, maybe I'll share some of those soon in the future.
What's been the reaction to the CD so far?
People have said that it doesn't sound like an independent release, which is really exciting for me because I think there are independent artists that do have a lot of people backing them up, but I think for the most part, you know, indie artists are on a budget, and in some ways you hear that on the record, but I've just been encouraged that people have said, wow, this sounds like really professional. And apart from, you know, that type of reaction, I think that the deeper joy in my heart is that people have said, even more specifically non-Christians, that the songs on there have helped them to understand God and helped them to understand life, and that is incredible to me because, I mean, that's really why I sing, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the whole indie thing is really, there's been a real shift away from labels to indie, and I think that even though with some labels you may have a bigger budget and that, your hands are often tied in terms of the type of things you can create because they're looking for a specific payback. And I've talked to a number of indie artists lately, and they like sort of that freedom to be able to, even with the budget restraints they have, the freedom to be able to put out what they want to put out as opposed to it being dictated because somebody else is paying for it.
Yeah. And that's the freedom that I'm enjoying right now. You know, I think the change in the music industry is really pushing towards an independent market, and it's getting a lot better. And it is great where it is. I know it'll get better. But I do know that, you know, mm-hmm. artists on major record labels are, obviously their sound is far more polished, but, you know, that might not necessarily be what people are looking for. You know, you don't want too much auto-correction and perfection before the music starts sounding unreal.
Yeah. What? Just a couple of minutes here before we have to wrap up. What's on your agenda for the next little while?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot. I'm going to Europe in June. We're doing a 2.5-week tour to Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. Before that, just touring locally in Ontario, we'll be doing a couple, we call it Sound of the Send-Off, so fundraiser concerts to help raise some of the funds for the tour. And yeah, just I actually have signed with an independent Nashville label, and I'll be debuting my album in the States, and I'll be meeting with them in April. So kind of making my way over to the U.S. a little bit, and who knows?
Yeah. What if somebody wants to find out where you are, what you're doing, and even if, how to get a hold of the CD? Where can they do that?
Sure, they can log on to amysavin.com. Obviously, all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. But to purchase an album, they can order it from my website, or they can go onto iTunes or Amazon and just download it there. Yeah, I think the best way to get the album is to come out to a show. So just the event schedule on amysavin.com.
Great. Amy, thanks very much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Amy Savin, and be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.